Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hook Jim, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We are now on episode 101, hitting our 100th milestone. With me, as always, of course, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, you know, we made it, man.
Yes, sir. We're on the next round of 100.
And joining us on this episode are two other voices of New Ohio Wrestling, Mr. John Orlando and Mr. Michael Pagano. Guys, welcome back to Wrestle Horror.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I'm excited. My first time on.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think we've ever had Mike on the Wrestle Horror podcast before, have we?
No.
Well, I stand corrected. Even ring announcers aren't infallible.
Yeah. True. Very true.
He's on everything else, though. Yep. He hadn't been on this podcast yet.
Okay. So, you know, we just got done with Sunday Showdown number one at the Now Training Center. The turnout was phenomenal. I'm sure it exceeded a lot of our expectations, and the crowd was into it. And I think it was a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into the show, though, I want to let you in on something from our last interview with Ari Lehman. Got tongue tied there for a second, but me and Terry did book our Crystal Lake tour with them, and it's going to be on the weekend at him and Adrian King's down there. So I let him know, and he was pretty pumped about it. So fingers crossed they do the dunk you under and out of the canoe. So we're going to be doing that in August. So I'm kind of pumped about that. It's a late Christmas or late birthday gift for me, not Christmas gift. So yeah. So I just wanted to drop that out there that I did go through with it, and we're booked and ready to go.
Well, that's gotta be exciting for you.
Oh yeah, I was kind of marking out pretty good when we did it. Then after I got permission from the boss, from Mama, she said go ahead, and I was pretty excited.
Oh, I know. I mean, I know how much you love the Friday the 13th series, and
oh yeah,
and the character of Jason, and now you get to be where it all began.
Oh yeah, yep. I'm definitely looking forward to it. So, all right, now we can get back to wrestling.
Now we'll talk about wrestling.
Right. I had to get that little Friday the 13th montage in there. But, like I said, I thought it went very well for us kind of just winging it and seeing how it would go. You know, like I said, we sold all the tickets that we were able to sell, and so it was pretty packed in there. I don't know how many more we'll be able to get in there. It looked like that was probably going to be about the limit. So yeah, about 50 people or so per show is what we're doing. But yeah, I think it was very successful. Everybody seemed to have a good time. I didn't hear any negative feedback. The only thing we did screw up on that I know of is we left the overhead door wide open, let all the air conditioning out. I don't know why we did that, because I'm an idiot probably. So we're definitely going to have to maybe shut the door down this time. But, you know, other than that, it was a great card. Everybody had fun. And, you know, of course, there's, you know, controversy and drama. It's you knew Ohio wrestling. So that's what happens.
Well, you know, I had no complaints about any of the matches. They were all entertaining in and of themselves. Even though we had to do a slight card change at the beginning, everything still worked out. And I think each of them told a great story.
I would totally agree. And it is professional wrestling, and they always do say at the bottom of the poster card subject to change. And unfortunately, in our first show back, we had to implement that rule, so to speak. You know, Gino DiCapo suffered an injury prior to the event. And unfortunately, that kind of changed the main event. And hopefully, and maybe we could talk about it, Donnie, are we going to see that match eventually? Because we have a Sunday Showdown coming up in August, as a matter of fact, August 1st. So any news you want to break maybe here on Wrestle Horror?
Yeah, for sure. The match was supposed to be Onyx versus Gino DiCapo for the Arnold Championship. And, you know, like you said, Gino suffered an injury and wasn't able to do the match. So we had a fill-in, and but he is actually going to be fulfilling that contract and on August 1st. So on August 1st, we will try it once again. It will be Superman Onyx defending the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo Championship against, you know, Gino DiCapo, the made man. And of course, Ripper will be by his side. And I heard him talking after the event, and you know, about they were saying something about bringing in some backup or making a call. So I have no idea what that's all about. Well, who knows?
It was probably a call to order a pizza. You know, Ripper Blackheart.
No,
probably.
Ripper. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, that sounds pretty good right now.
So, you know, we've got the four of us here. We got the owner of the promotion. You got the three voices of the promotion. We haven't heard from Michael yet. Michael, what's your take on one of the matches? I mean, you were there for most of it, or at least.
Yeah. So I loved it. I thought it was great. So I've been working with New Ohio for a little over a year now, and I had not been able to go to a single event, obviously, because of COVID. And I was very happy that it was finally able to happen. And I had a lot of fun, and the matches were great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I was able to have my parents and my brother come to the show as well, and they really enjoyed it, and everybody was great. And but like you said, the matches were really good. I thought at the end, unfortunately, with Gino not being able to wrestle, I thought it made the story better, though, having Brandon Fields come in there. And that's a match that we've seen a ton with Brandon Fields and Onyx. So it's not like those two guys wouldn't be able to work well together. And I think they did. I thought it was great. I was really excited to be able to come to the event, and I thought it went really well for sure.
Michael, your dad's a big Marion Fontaine fan, isn't he?
Yeah, he was excited. We talked to Marion a little bit after the show, and he was hoping he would go up into a pretzel like he did at the first ever match and roll around the ring. And Marion said that he would do it if he was coming to another show for sure.
Oh,
but yeah, he was excited to get to meet him.
Yeah, that'll be fun then. Yeah, like I said, he hadn't done that in a while. I think he's only done it once here at New Ohio, hadn't he?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the only time I've seen him.
Yeah.
Well, he had a match with
Thunderbird Jake Ely.
Yeah, Jake Ely. Yeah. I was sitting there. Of course, it's Mark Koval. So I always try to forget everything involving Mark Koval. So, but yeah, him and Thunderbird went out there and went after it. And of course, the Temple of Terror Championship, which isn't even a real title, but Mark claims it is. And, you know, Golden Idol's the Golden Idol. I don't know why he feels he has to carry that belt around and claim Jake Ely the champion, but more power to him, I guess. But yeah, they had a great match, I thought.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say that, you know, Marion Fontaine continues to be one of the most popular athletes on the roster of NOW. You saw that with not only Michael's dad, but everybody that was there. They love Marion Fontaine, and, you know, he was one of those individuals that, you know, didn't really he took some time off, you know, during COVID, during the pandemic. You know, mm-hmm. I talked to him before the show, and he said that he was feeling like refreshed and he was ready to go. And he felt really, really good physically and mentally, and he was ready for the match. And, you know, I guess that's something that I kind of overlooked, as I didn't realize, you know, that some guys may have taken some time off. Some guys may have maybe even trained harder. Some, you know, because let's be honest, some states wrestling has been happening for a while. So some guys have mm-hmm. probably gone over to those areas and wrestled. So I guess it was something I didn't think about, that each individual had probably an individual way that they spent the pandemic.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of them got when the pandemic did happen and they got to take that extended time away was a benefit to all of them, gave them time to recoup and, you know, heal up some old injuries and nagging aches and pains and all that. So I mean, if he didn't work any the whole time COVID was on, and I say that's kind of a smart move on him, because he looked really fresh. He looked really fresh.
Definitely.
One thing I did want to point out about the smaller venue is I just think it made the feeling of the show better. I mean, most of the time at a show, even independent shows, you're not that close to the guys coming through. And I think coming through from outside and being able to enter, I thought that was really cool. And I just think it gave you a better feel and made you feel like you were a part of the show. And I think that's what fans that come to independent shows kind of want to feel like when they come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard a lot of good feedback about that. And that was kind of the point. Like I said, I've always been a fan of the old studio style shows from back in the day. And because of that reason, everything is so up front and in your face. And I mean, there were some challenges because, like I said, there's only, you know, fans could only sit on one side of the ring. And, you know, and they are super close. Like the Golden Idol was, you know, clumsy, a goof as he is, almost fell out down the stairs and landed in a fan's lap in the front row. So, you know, so there is some challenges to go over and go through. But for the most part, like even the wrestlers, I heard a lot of positive feedback from the wrestlers because they said it was a challenge to them, you know, and performing in that kind of an atmosphere. And, you know, because there's, you know, things that you have to adjust, you know, when you only have, you know, one side of the ring to work on and stuff, you know, there's things you have to adjust and there's a lot of challenges and stuff that they're not used to or they've dealt with before. So I heard from a few different people that they really enjoyed it and are ready to come back and do it again.
Cool. Great feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the Pat the Bruiser and Chuck the Truck Morris match, what did you guys think about that? I was hoping it was going to be a hard hitting and powerful match, and that's what it ended up being. And I heard a lot of thumps and thuds in there in that ring. So yeah, they were going after each other. I thought it was a pretty good match myself.
Well, what is it?
Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
I was gonna say, what is it? One of the commentators should say, it's too. Now I can't remember. It's like two beasts clashing or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just know there was a lot of meat in that ring. That's all I know.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised that it was hard hitting. I mean, those two know each other very, very well. We've documented on the Now Nation recap several matches between Chuck and at the time Jake Ely being his tag partner against War Haas, and I think that no one was surprised by that. I think the way that the match ended was maybe a little bit surprising, and I'll say that loosely. I mean, we all know War Haas is not above you know, taking a shortcut here or there,
right? Yeah, you kind of expect it nowadays when they're in the ring, even the singles or tag, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. We saw that later on in the evening too, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, he actually came to ring. I mean, at least on Pat's match, you know, Crosshairs didn't come to the ring with him. But when Crosshairs was taking on Cody, I don't know if Crosshairs was little uneasy wrestling a veteran like Cody, or if they were just like, you know, we're just going to bring, you know, come down together and do whatever. But yeah, Pat came down to ringside with Crosshairs in his match against Cody Hawk. And of course, you know, he got involved in that one too. So it's a typical War Haas.
Right.
And Michael, one thing I made sure to mention to my family before is we'd only ever been to really one other event, and it was a WWE event. So you're not close to the ring. And I told them, I was like, when you get close to that ring, be ready, because it is loud. It's a lot louder than you would think being close to the ring. And that very first match really set the tone, and they were definitely bringing the energy, and it was loud in there. But it was a really good match. It was definitely fun to see those two go at it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Michael, you got to see the fallout of War Haas and their, I don't know, their shenanigans, if you will, at the end of the show. You got to talk to Cody Hawk and Chuck Morris, who were not too pleased about what went down in their respective matches.
Yeah, definitely not. They were ready to take on War Haas, and I think they're going to pose a threat to War Haas, because we've seen, obviously, Chuck the Truck go up against them with Jake Ely, but I think it'll be interesting seeing him team up with Cody, who is a veteran who – we'll see if they're able to take him down, because War Haas is a tough team, but I think Cody and Chuck can put up a good fight for him for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's good to mention that that match will be happening August the 1st. You know, cause like we said, shenanigans happened during the match, and Pat got involved, and they, you know, started attacking Cody, and then Chuck the Truck come in, still, you know, mad about what happened in the previous match, you know, came out to give Cody a hand, and Cody challenged Warhorse to a tag match with him and Chuck versus Warhorse on August 1st. So we're gonna see how that pans out, and like Mike said, you know, we're gonna see if they're gonna be able to you know, take care of business. You know, Warhorse, you know, they're dangerous as singles, but they're even twice as dangerous as a tag team, and yeah, so it's they're a tough team to beat, so we'll just see if they can do it.
Jim, you every single Friday pretty much you get to see Cody Hawk in action, right? So you know as well as we all know, you know, he's got like all the tricks, yes, in the bag, like all of them.
And some you've still never heard of.
Oh.
Cody, he's a master at his craft. I mean, they don't call him the trainer or champion for nothing.
Yeah.
And with the troubles that he and Chuck have been having separately with Warhorse, I think this pairing is going to do nothing but help solidify a bond that could be a threat to them.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, unit 6137.
And I mean, you got to figure that, you know, Chuck has only been wrestling, what, 4 or 5 years. He's still young in his career. He's going to learn so much from Cody Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he benefits Cody because he's big and powerful.
True. Yeah.
You know, Cody's a little bit smaller, but he's the wily veteran. And, you know, it's like you said, he can probably get you in things you've never heard of before. But I think it's a great pairing for the two, the size and the knowledge. Pat the Bruiser and Crosshairs Kelly might want to be on the guard.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I think if there's anybody that's able to get the win over Warhorse, it would be Cody and Chuck.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see. What did you guys think of we had Celeste Taylor, you know, a fan favorite of Now, you know, the Now Nation like him a lot. And we had a debut, the man they call Amos, you know, made his debut in New Ohio Wrestling and took on Celeste Taylor. And it was a back and forth match and, you know, a lot of action. And the ending was kind of weird, you know, as Amos had him in a submission type maneuver, and then Celeste just kind of rolled him back a little bit and got his shoulders to the mat. And I don't think Amos really realized what was happening, and Celeste got the pin, you know, off of an odd finish. It was kind of a odd, out of the blue type of win for Celeste.
Definitely due for a rematch, but my gosh, these guys tore the roof down. I mean, that's my opinion. Amos and Celeste are both smaller. They're high flyers. They can take bigger risks, and boy, did they! I mean, this was just they went back and forth, and it was beauty in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was impressed with the man they call Amos. I mean, not ever seeing him wrestle before, he was very impressive. He's got, I think pretty much he's got not only got the speed, but he's also got the body. He's also got the muscles. I mean, he's not a small man by any stretch of the imagination. He was quite impressive. And, you know, I will probably, and Donnie, you can let us know, we're probably going to see more of him maybe in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be coming back to New Ohio Wrestling and stuff. So, we'll see what else he's got to show everybody.
You know, so, go ahead, Michael.
I actually took four things away from the match. So, first off, I think Sless is right up there with Marion Fontaine as one of the big fan favorites at New Ohio Wrestling. I mean, everybody loves Sless Taylor. And then Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. That was a phenomenal entrance music for him. I mean, we couldn't fit him any better than it did. And then Amos, I love the fact that he had the jacket on, because when Sless was trying to chop him, it probably hurt Sless more than it actually hurt Amos. So I was, I love that thinking there. And then Amos, at the end, he was not too happy about the loss. He was very upset that he was just rolled up, and I definitely caught the brunt of it backstage. So, but it was a good match. I really enjoyed getting to see those two go at it. And like most of us, we had never really seen Amos work before, and I was very happy with the match. It was really cool.
Yeah, I'd say he was probably pretty upset by the time he got back there and got to talking to you. So that was probably pretty entertaining.
I felt bad for Michael. I'm not going to lie. I felt really bad for him that he had to interview him after that loss. So,
you know, all I've got to say is he's another one I watch every Friday night here in Hampton. And what I've seen in the past with him and what I saw at New Ohio Wrestling was on a different level.
Really? Because
I've never seen him work with somebody the caliber, I can't say the caliber, but with the specific style set that Sless Taylor has.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Sless work, and I know what he's capable of. And then here comes Amos, and I've seen him work a lot, and I know he can do some of the stuff, but with that match, it just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He was bringing everything he had, that's for sure. Yeah, but from Mike's talking about the fan favorites, we got to talk about the main event, because I don't think there's anybody that gets a better reaction than Superman Onyx in New Ohio Wrestling. I mean, like, the adults love him, kids love him. He's an all-around genuine, you know, great person. He's big as a house, and he can get mean. He got a little nasty there a little bit for a while, and so what do you guys think about that? You know, there was, like we said earlier, there was some controversy. Gino did suffer an injury prior to the match, so he was then able to compete. So they brought in one of the winners, you know, and out of Ripper's old stash of stable of wrestlers that he has acquired up in his past. And they brought in the professional Brandon Fields to take Gino's spot. And, you know, like Mike said, you know, these two have been back and forth numerous times. And they were even in the title match for the first NOW championship that Brandon Fields, you know, eventually won. What'd you guys think of that match? I mean, I seen it. I noticed Onyx had a kind of a chip on his shoulder, and I'm thinking it's probably because he lost the match, the four-way match to Brandon for the NOW title. So he kind of wanted to give him a little bit of the business, as they say. So what'd you guys think of that?
You know, overall, the match was, these guys have faced each other before.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Onyx had the mindset of going with Gino DiCapo and not going with Brandon Fields up until this late unfortunate injury. I think that threw Onyx a little off his game, because he prepped for one wrestler and he was facing another. But
mm-hmm.
Brandon took it to him, just like I've seen before. It wasn't an easy win for Onyx, and I think that kind of bothered him a little bit too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give credit to Ripper Blackheart. If you need to make a change and you need to substitute somebody, why not go with the former NOW champion? Right. Michael and I have said it many times before. Brandon Fields is the – like, he's just got this aura about him that is so, like, you don't take him seriously, and then he gets you. You know, like, he's not flashy, he's not flamboyant, but he's darn good in the ring. Ergo, why they call him the professional. And so, I mean, if you're Ripper Blackheart, you got to find somebody. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Hats off to him for talking Brandon Fields into taking the match, which I'm sure didn't take a lot of convincing, but that was a smart move. That was a shrewd move if you're Ripper Blackheart.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. I mean, we call Ripper Blackheart a lot of things, but a complete idiot's not one of them.
Nope, that is correct. Yeah, he's got the brains. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, overall, like I said, we only did five matches, you know, like I said, because we wanted to keep it short just to try to test it out. It was the first time we'd ever attempted it. And, you know, overall, I think it was a success. You know, like I said, I haven't heard a lot of negative, you know, just, you know, a lot of negative things about it. So we're going to continue to do it, and we're going to up the matches back to seven like a normal show. And, you know, which brings us now to the now 14, which is August 1st. And we're going to be going back to the training center. We're going to do it again. And one match we've already talked about was the tag match with Cody Hawk, Chuck the Truck versus Warhorse. So that's going to be, you know, another great one to watch. Another one I want to touch on, and this one, it kind of makes me giggle. And I think I'm looking forward to this match myself. And again, it's the Golden Idol, Mark Coval, and Jake Ely, Thunderbird Jake Ely. And we're going up, and they're going up against the half pint punk, Eric Smalls. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Eric Smalls asked for the match, and so we granted it to him. I don't know how he knew about Mark and Jake, but he reached out to New Ohio Wrestling Management and asked to come in. He wanted to wrestle Jake. So, you know, who are we to say no, I guess.
So now Jake can wrestle somebody that he's taller than.
Right, yeah.
I mean, come on.
You said it.
I mean, let's think about this. Back at Sunday Showdown, when I had him and the Golden Idol, Mike Coval, in the ring about the Temple of Terror Championship, mm-hmm. and he was trying to intimidate me.
You're like twice his size.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jake's a great wrestler. I love his work. But I'm 6'4", over 300 pounds. He's like 5'9" and 180 pounds. I mean,
yeah, that's Thunderbird though.
Scare me. I mean, it's like,
that's Thunderbird though. He's got that chip on his shoulder.
Yes, he does. Quite frankly, I still wouldn't want to wrestle him.
No, I don't think I'd want to get in there with him.
You know what? It's cliche, but we say it all the time. But I think for August 1st, that match is going to be a very unique matchup. That's all I'll say.
Right. Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to it. And because, like I said, Mark Coval, the Golden Idol, for some reason, he always ends up getting himself into weird situations and weird predicaments. And then when you add the half pipe punk into the mix, I mean, like I said, they've wrestled each other, or they've been on the opposite sides of the ring before when Eric Smalls wrestled Brandon Fields that one day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun match. And you know, Eric Smalls asked for the match for a reason. So I think he's got something up his sleeve. We're just going to have to wait and see what that reason is.
You know, what really is exciting to me is the fact that I'm going to be announcing Eric Smalls again, and I announced him in the very first match I ever announced for you.
Yeah, it was Eric Smalls versus Queen Aminata. Yep.
Yes. So I get to announce Smalls in a match again. That's kind of exciting. So.
Oh yeah. Yep. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I say one more we'll give away. We don't want to give away too many of the match or the card just yet. And we're still finalizing details on some others and all that. But one more we'll give away, which we kind of already touched on a little bit, is for the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo Championship. And it's Superman Onyx versus the Made Man, Gino DiCapo. And we're going to try to make this, you know, happen. We're going to try it again. And, you know, like we had talked about before, you know, off air, on air, in different places, if there's one person that could probably pull off the upset against Superman Onyx, I think it's Gino DiCapo, because he's you know, not only a bigger guy and he has some power to him, but he's also a smart guy. He wrestles smart.
But you know what I think? I think Gino's going to have even more resolve this time around. He's got another month to train, another month to prepare. And he could pose a very serious threat to Ollie.
I agree wholeheartedly on what both of you have said. I think that if there is one person on the roster that very well could take that title from Onyx, Gino would be the one to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So real quick on Onyx, I know we already talked a little bit about the Fields match, but like you were saying, you can't find a much better guy to come in there than Brandon Fields, but I definitely don't envy Brandon Fields because he was getting tossed around that ring and Onyx was making it look very easy. So, but yeah, as far as Gino DiCapo, he was ready to go for that match. There is no doubt about it, but unfortunately due to his injury, he was not able to, but I'm excited to see if he's able to pull off that upset for sure.
Yeah. And that's also, if you think about it, a testament to Gino too, because, you know, reason he couldn't wrestle is he went and the way he said when he was announcing that Brandon was taking his spot, that he prepares for a wrestling match by going out and picking fights with people on the street. And so he ended up getting a busted lip, you know, on the outside. It was like almost all the way through his lip and it was bleeding everywhere. And of course we can't have, you know, a guy wrestle when he's got almost a full hole in his lip. And, but even with that being said, you know, he could have just stayed in the back or went and got it stitched up or whatever. And, you know, just the way Gino is, he was still at ringside. He was, you know, still cheering him on. He was still trying to get involved and help Brandon any way he could, you know, as being the dirty, you know, underhanded person that he is. And so even though, like I said, he was injured and taken out of the match, he was still at ringside, you know, trying to get involved, trying to get it, you know, get at Onyx. So, you know, you got to give him kind of credit for having the heart to stay out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to believe he won that fight too. Yeah. If all he had was that little hole in his lip, I mean, he was saying he was fighting five guys. So if he came out that unscathed, I would think he won the fight for sure.
Yeah, I would say. I don't think I'm going to ask him, but.
Yeah, same here. I'm going to take his word on it. I don't want to know. You know what I mean? Like, you never want to know about those type of guys and what they do outside. Whatever, man. I don't want to be an accomplice or a witness.
Right.
You know, what worries me about the match with him and Onyx is, as you can see, the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo belt behind me. Onyx is really, I can't imagine Gino DiCapo being that kind of champion.
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's two totally different sides of the spectrum. You know, like Onyx he's a classic Kids and Teens Expo champion, you know, person. You know, he loves kids. He supports all of the kids' activities and teen activities. You know, everybody loves him. And then Gino's like the complete opposite. You know, he would probably pie face a kid in a heartbeat and not think twice about it, you know. So if he's, you know, representing the Kids and Teens Expo, you know, the Arnold. So, yeah, I don't think that's a good representation of the belt. So Onyx is, you know, he's got to take up or stand up and take pride and, you know, protect that Kids and Teens Expo championship.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, Onyx is – he's a really great guy. From the first time I was able to meet him, like you were saying, Donnie, he is a very genuinely great guy. And he's another guy I was able to talk to a little bit after the show and took a few pictures with him and my family, and they let him hold the Arnold belt. And so he's a great guy for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so I'm kind of excited for August the 1st. You know, we're going to do it again and see how it goes. And we already got some drama started up already. At first, you know, first show back, there was already drama. So people were there, like all the wrestlers and the managers were probably just sitting in there all cooped up and ready to do something. And they got a little carried away in some matches. So we'll see how August 1st pans out. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Donnie, would you like me to tell everybody where they can find all the information for August 1st?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. It's like, I mean, I'm so used to doing it, I figured, what the hell? Right. Of course, www.newohawrestling.com is the website. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just look for New Ohio Wrestling. Also, just search for New Ohio Wrestling on YouTube. And, of course, we're even on Twitter. But due to Twitter's weirdness, we're just at New Ohio Wrestling. No G at the end.
Right. Yep. And for tickets to the event, go to New Ohio Live. Like I said, we're limited seating because of, you know, of the capacity issues and all that. So we're only allowed to sell 50 tickets at a time. So, you know, they're going to go quick. They're already going. So yeah, you got to get them now.
Cool. Yeah. And don't forget, you get to see the ring announcer with the slickest red shoes you will ever see.
There you go. The old slickster. Yeah, but before we wrap up and go, I think I want to hit Mike with the question.
Yes.
He's never been on the show before. And so, Mike, we're going to hit you with the question this time. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a question we do for fun. I'm sure you've heard it before. So the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Wow, that is a great question. I had a feeling some sort of horror question was going to be coming. I thought it might be what my favorite horror movie is. But anyways, I think my go-to kill would have to be the one that's coming off the top of my head is a baseball bat and just whacking their head right back. Even if it just pops right off. I don't know if it actually pop off, but I think that'd be my go-to kill for sure.
I'm just gonna go Negan style on somebody, huh?
Yeah. maybe get a few spikes on the bat as well.
Blunt force. Jeez. Okay, since we now have an answer that's completely unique from every other answer we've had, we've never had a duplicate answer.
Nope.
What is your favorite horror film?
So, admittedly, I'm not the biggest horror fan, but one movie that I did see that I enjoyed was Jeepers Creepers, the original Jeepers Creepers. It was scary. It definitely got me a little bit, but I enjoyed it. My favorite part was the tunnel they go down to,
right?
And at the very beginning, that definitely was creepy. And then the ending, I was not expecting that at the end. I thought there might be some sort of a happy ending, but that wasn't the case at all.
Definitely. I enjoy that movie as well, Michael. I've met the creeper. There are the actor, Jonathan Brett, played him. And when I interviewed him, he's about as tall as I am. He stuck his nose up, started sniffing me like the creeper.
Yeah, that'd freak me out.
Yeah, it's a little unnerving. But great. I mean, that's a good horror film. It's right up our alley, you know, and it maybe it's a little more commercial, but hey, I give every horror film a chance if I can.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting to get the copy of that one of yours. I'm going to get my hands on it.
I
might
have to give you my Prime login.
There you go. Just go. We'll just FaceTime each other, and you can just like hold your phone up to your screen while you watch it.
I was waiting for you to bring that up again, honestly. I really don't want you to see it. That's how bad it is.
If I get a copy of it, John, we're gonna have to have a viewing party.
Okay, you got it. We'll make that happen.
Do not blame me at the end of it when you go, why did I waste my time? It's not my fault. I'm just an actor and not much of one in that. Just the hanging joke is much better.
Now, I did enjoy that one. Like I said, you sent that to me. I like that one.
John, I can send you a Dropbox link if you want to see the short film A Hanging Joke that I was in.
Sure. Yeah, send me a link. I'll check it out.
But Time is drawing nigh and people have things to do.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to seeing Now Nation again at the Now Training Center August 1st.
Oh, yeah.
Showdown 2, Now 14. We've announced a few matches. I'm really excited about the tag match with Chuck the Shark, Cody, and Warhouse. I think that's going to be a really good match. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be hard hitting. I can pretty much promise you that.
Yeah. Got a lot of meat in there. So, yep, it is definitely going to be hard hitting. Can't wait to see it.
And make note, Big Dirty didn't hurt anybody. See?
Out for you, dude. That's what you and Mike.
Yeah. Yep. I was kind of worried about that. I was like, be good. You know, don't be hurting nobody. And she did. So.
No, fortunately, that's great. That's good news. For Donnie, John, and Michael, I am Meat Hook Jim. Thank you for joining us and indulging us as we talk about New Ohio Wrestling Sunday Showdown 1, and just have a good time. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
See you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.